This is PhotoBizX episode number 225, and today's special guest is the tattooed bride's photographer, Mike Allaback. We'll be going deep into how he runs his business, how he's found the success that he has, plus why he's focusing on couples boudoir photography and why he feels that is the next big thing in regards to photography genres. That's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. I'm looking forward to bringing you this interview with Mike Allaback. I know that you're going to love his backstory, how he got into photographing tattooed brides. And not only that, how he took that idea and built it into such a successful business. And now what he's doing to capitalize on and attract this new genre of couples boudoir. So all that's coming up in just a minute. In regards to me and my week, well, I'd be lying if I didn't say that my main focus has been on my holiday that's coming up at the end of this week. I'll be leaving for France on Saturday morning for 3.5 weeks. So yeah, my focus has been, well, on that, but also on getting things ready as far as the podcast goes. So recording interviews or scheduling interviews to be recorded this week. I've got a couple of shoots booked in for this week, a pregnancy shoot and also an engagement shoot. And amongst all that, we're still photographing the local sporting teams. Well, Linda's looking after that with our associate photographers. And any other spare time that I've got, I've been focusing on the podcast, looking through the previous survey questions and answers, well, more the answers that I received from you in regard to those survey responses. I've been giving a lot of thought to the podcast, how I can make it better suited to you, how I can improve the content, looking at the style of guests that I'm having on the show. And yeah, I'm looking forward to introducing some new ideas, some different style of guests for later on in the year. So look out for all that. I've got to say that the response to the surveys was just fantastic, and you've given me so many ideas and thoughts on how the podcast can be improved, what you love about it at the moment. So I'm taking all that, mulling it all over, and going to introduce little bits and pieces here and there and gauge your response, see what you like, what you don't like. And I'll be kicking that off today with an idea that was put forward inside the members' Facebook group, and that was to review products or services in regards to photography business. The big worry inside the group was that this segment would become a secret way to advertise inside the PhotoBizX podcast, and I can tell you I'm definitely not going to be advertising anything. It's not the basis for bringing in income through advertising or promoting products that I don't believe in or know about or use myself. But there was a definite interest in letting you know about products and services that other photographers are using in their business that they feel they can't do without, that they absolutely love. This will be business-related products, so definitely not camera reviews. I'm not looking at sensors and pixels and lenses and things like that. This will be business-related products. And we're going to be kicking that off today with a new segment. There's no jingle or anything like that yet because I want to leave judgment up to you and wait for your feedback on the segment. So a big thanks to Amanda Schultz for kicking off that segment, which you'll hear after the interview today. The product that she's talking about is free, which is really cool. So hopefully that will dispel some of the myths. And the idea and the plan is to have you as a listener come on and share something that you're using in your business that you absolutely love and can't do without. More about that when we get to that segment after the interview with Mike. So yeah, that's pretty much my week in a nutshell. I will let you know right now that while I'm away, the podcast will be released as normal. So I'll be recording the intros and the outros while in France and bringing you interviews like I do every single week. I will cut down on the extra stuff. So I may not look at the episode from last week. There probably won't be any shout out segments. So I'll strip it down to the bare essentials while I'm on holiday so that I can enjoy the holiday a little bit more and focus less on work. But I will still be answering emails. I still will be inside the members Facebook group and active in there. I know that I'll have time to do all those kinds of things. So yeah. Oh, and next week it'll be a members only podcast episode, a really cool one with a guest that you will know and be familiar with, Raymond Hatfield. And I'm looking forward to bringing that one to members because it focuses on a new strategy that Raymond is using that he wanted to share with members. And I think you'll know why if you are a premium member. So look out for that one next week.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
Last week, I interviewed Paul Rogers, the UK documentary photographer who's now focusing on weddings. And we talked a lot about the workshop that he attended, the foundation workshop. And yeah, I did make a big fuss about the fact that it did cost $10,000 to go and do this workshop. And I was honestly amazed that Paul would not so much spend that kind of money on a workshop, but that he would even attend a workshop like that, having the skills and the abilities and the knowledge that he does and the background and the skills. I mean, this guy is an amazing photographer. I mean, he shot for the Times newspaper for over a decade. I mean, he is a super talented photographer. So yeah, I was genuinely curious about the fact that he would even consider attending a workshop like that, forgetting the fact that it was a $10,000 workshop, which, by the way, a listener let me know that would equate to a 50-year subscription to PhotoBizX. That's pretty cool. Yeah, look, get back and have a listen to that interview if you haven't had a chance. Paul, like I said, is an amazing photographer. It was great to hear about this workshop, what someone of his caliber took away from it, what he learned and what he's been able to retain from the workshop now that he's come back and he's back into everyday life as a working photographer. And I think that's the biggest thing with any workshop that we attend. And I'm the same. You know, you come away feeling motivated and excited and pumped and ready to go. You've got a notepad full of ideas that you're going to implement and use in your business. And then you come back and get into the grind. You settle into your normal routine. And before long, you've forgotten not only the things that you learned, but you've lost that motivation or that enthusiasm that new fire that you felt when you came out of the workshop. So we talk about all that with Paul in last week's episode. So again, get back and have a listen if you haven't had a chance and check out his work. And if you want to hear more about Paul and the way he approaches his photography, check out the Photography Experiment podcast where I interviewed him and talked more about the creative side of his photography than the business.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is known as the Tattooed Brides photographer, Mike Alabach. When he was in high school, he was in a punk rock band, and after becoming a wedding photographer, Mike noticed no one had really gone after that market. In 2008, he put together a shoot with tattooed people, and things took off from there. Since then, he's photographed offbeat, gay, trans, straight edge, roller girl, nerdy, steampunk, punk rock, rockabilly, tattooed, not tattooed, interfaith, and couples with disabilities. Mike's writing and photography has been featured in over 100 blogs, newspapers, and magazines, and his articles have been read by over 500,000 people. I'm rapt to have him with me now. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Mate, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. How about we start with where you are right now? Because you're not shooting on your own anymore, are you?
Well, I have a studio now, and I didn't always have one. I'm actually a one-shooter studio still, but, you know, I have second shooters that come out to the weddings with me, that kind of thing. And then I share a space with two other photographers who have their own businesses.
Okay. So you're still doing all the shooting on your own?
Yeah. Still doing all the shooting. Yeah. Some days it's a lot.
That already surprises me because when I see how prolific you are online and the reputation that you have, it would seem to me that you could, you know, fill a diary three or four times over. Is that the way it is?
You know, I think because it's the artist versus the business person mentality. And everyone that I speak to says, hey, you should get some other photographers working with you and all that. And I think I'm just a little bit too controlling, as many artists are, to let go of that part of the business. But I'm happy to let go of all the details.
Okay. What are the details? So what do you let go of?
Well, I finally got to the point this year in my business to be able to let go of the retouching, let other people do the color correction and the retouching. And I actually just lost my studio manager. I'm looking for a new one at the moment. And I realized how bad I am at that part of the business.
So how was it letting go of the retouching when you first started to do that?
I think I was just so scared that nobody would, you know, really do what I do. And that was very much an unfounded belief. You know, they can do much better than I can actually. So I was just holding on.
Seriously? True?
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think even some of the people that I've had come in here, I've insourced, I've outsourced, and they've done a better job for less money, of course, because I'm wasting my own time when I do it.
Okay. So what have you settled on now? Do you have someone in the studio that you've trained, or are you outsourcing?
Some of it, I have somebody who comes in once a week to do some of my retouching. They get a good deal of it done. And then for like headshots, I send those out to a local or a company in the United States for the headshots.
So what about weddings, portraits, things like that? That's all in studio.
Yeah, well, I had my studio manager at the time was skilled in that, and they were able to do both, you know, setting up the appointments and all those kind of things. Plus some of the weddings that I did this year, they were able to retouch and color correct. So I'm hoping to, now that I lost them, to find somebody else that can kind of fill in that gap.
Okay. So you like, or you prefer the idea of someone coming into the studio that you train and can watch, or are you just as happy to send it off online to some company?
Yeah, I'm definitely exploring that. And there's a company in Canada that I'm looking at. Really, it just has to be off my plate. That's the main thing, is get it off my plate.
Yeah, sure. Can you give us an idea or a snapshot of your business now? Because you're not just shooting weddings. I mean, you mentioned headshots there, but there's other components to your business, isn't there?
Yeah, so I think, you know, when I started it over 10 years ago, it was just weddings. And until recently, that was the case. But like in the last 2 years, I've really started getting into doing portraits much, much more. So I would say that a third of my business is boudoir. Half of it is still weddings. And the other portion is headshots and family photos. And I really am trying to expand much more into family photos.
Why is that?
I think it just fits. You know, I really want to get the model that a lot of people do of just a for life portrait studio. And I think it makes sense. I've already worked with them once or twice if they've done an engagement session. So, you know, why shouldn't I be their portrait photographer for life?
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. I've got 1,000 questions here. So you mentioned there, you know, there's the business side of you and there's the creative side of you. And, you know, you've got to, I guess, separate those. Do you see yourself as a businessman or an artist photographer?
I would say I would like to think of myself in the future as a business person. I think as many photographers go, we start out as artists and we're horrible at business. We make a lot of mistakes and don't really know how to price right and don't know how to run the business side of things. And that's really what I've been working on for the last 2 years, is killing it in business, you know.
And are you?
I'm getting better. I like to think of it, but you know, I had my best year yet, and you know, I've worked with a coach and things have really improved. So I'm really excited where things are going.
Unreal. I've got to say, I'm a little bit confused because I see how prolific you are. I mean, you are known as the tattooed bride's photographer. You have this amazing reputation. If anyone thinks of photographing a tattooed wedding, like they think your name comes up. It comes up on Google as well as amongst photographers, and I'm sure tattooed brides. I mean, it looks to me from the outside that you could be doing 50, 100, 200 tattooed bride weddings a year around the world. Like, is that how it is?
Not exactly. I mean, in between the boudoir shoots and the tattooed weddings, I'm probably doing that, but not, you know, last year I only did about 30-some tattooed weddings. And that's about all I can handle of, you know, the wedding side of the business, because I've been definitely like focusing on doing more portrait shoots. I want my weekends back.
All right. Okay. So that might explain a little bit of it. But, you know, my question probably wasn't well put to you, because I guess my impression is you could be booking 200 weddings or 300 weddings because of the reputation and how well known you are. Are you getting that many inquiries, but you're picking 30 weddings, or you're only getting your 30 inquiries and that's enough, you're booking them?
I would say that definitely my price dissuades a lot of the weddings that I get. A lot of people are looking for that budget photographer, and then they they see, because their whole wedding might be the budget of, you know, my photography services. So they come to me and they hear the price and they're, you know, they would love to work with me, but I think, you know, the price dissuades them.
Okay. So using that to sort of cull down how many shoots you actually take on, your pricing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if I was a budget photographer, I could definitely do that many weddings, but I don't want to be a budget photographer.
Sure. So what do you charge for a wedding?
I charge an hourly rate, and it's for 2018, it's $800 an hour. For 2017, it's $700 an hour. So I'm definitely not in the highest of high range. There's a lot of photographers who are higher than me, but I also focus on after the wedding, doing album sales and trying to get that $4,000 album upgrade. And during the engagement session, I'm trying to get, you know, a $3,000 sale from the engagement as well.
Wow. So are you getting those sort of numbers from an engagement shoot?
Well, I'm getting usually around $2,500 from the engagement sessions, I would say.
Wow. Okay. I'd love to explore how you do that. Yeah. Can we go into that? Like when the couple are booking you for the engagement shoot, so I'm guessing, is it included when you get booked for their wedding? And what does it include if they do get it for free?
So I used to do free engagement sessions, and I've really found that that was a great way to waste my time, and they wouldn't value it as much. So I really actually off the bat don't really charge much for the engagement session. It's only $100 and it doesn't include anything. It's just really to get that date on the calendar with me. So I take that and then we do the session, and usually if I can, I'll show them the photos right afterwards, and they'll do the in-person sales, and I hope that they buy a ginormous piece for their living room.
When you say right after, do you mean like on the day of the shoot, or you mean like a week or two later?
Oh, I try and do it within an hour. You know, we finish up the shoot. If it's near their house, I'll just go there with my projector, and we'll sit down, and I cull for about 20, 30 minutes, and then after the cull, I put it in, you know, right up on the screen, either in their house or in the studio.
Okay. You say you're doing a cull and you're projecting. Are you using something like ProSelect or Photo Mechanic? What are you doing?
Yeah, for the culls, I use Photo Mechanic. And for the projection, I use both Fundy and ProSelect, depending on what we're doing.
It sounds like you're doing almost none, if any, post-production work to those images. They're straight out of the camera. You've done a cull. Are you doing anything else?
No, you know, if they're seeing it the next day, there might be two or three images that I take into Photoshop and I just lighten up or darken a little bit. But other than that, if I'm showing, you know, the same day, they're not getting touched at all.
Wow. Okay. So when do the clients find out about pricing and your products, and what are you taking to that session to sell them?
Well, if it's in the studio, they're seeing the products right then and there that we already have. If it's in their own home, then really, and we've talked about some of the potential products. So they have an idea in their mind. They've heard some big numbers that maybe they weren't expecting. We've talked about creating a piece that might be $1,500 or $2,000, or even I've quoted as high as $3,000 for a piece for a couple before we even went into any of this.
So is that happening when they're booking the session, or is that once after it's booked and you're planning the shoot? Like, when does that conversation happen about possible pieces and prices?
Yeah, it really happens when they're booking the session. So, you know, I separate it from the conversation that we've had about their wedding. If we've already talked about their wedding, that's one thing. We got that date on the books, and then we start talking about their engagement session. And, you know, that's when I would have them kind of think about where would they want something in their home to remind them of what they love about each other.
Right, okay. And so are they giving you then ideas, like are they saying the lounge room or above the bed? Are you looking for things like that from them?
Yeah, generally it's one of those two options, you know, in their bedroom, which I would say, you know, I get that about half the time, and the other half is in the room that they spend the most time, which is either, you know, their living room or, as you called it, lounge room.
Okay. And then is that when you would be planting seeds, like, you know, suggesting, say, a 20 by 30 or a 40 by 60 or a canvas? Like, just talk me through that conversation.
Yeah. And I don't give an actual size. I visualize a piece in my mind and I write down what piece that I quoted them on. And I give them an idea of what would really fit the space. Because if you go into numbers, they don't really know what's going to look the best in a space where I can visualize it for them and say, well, you know what, the piece that I'm thinking that would work the best, that's going to run you, you know, $1,500 or $2,000 or $3,000 based on what you said.
Are you looking for a response to gauge then? Like if they take a gasp, it's like, whoa. Or are they,
yeah.
What are you hoping to get when you give those numbers?
Well, I think most of the time they're not ready for that, and that's fine. You know, I just want to plant the seed. They don't have to be okay with it. They don't have to be ready for it. I want them to have a conversation behind the scenes with me not there. Because if I show up at the session, we do the session, they love the pictures, and then I spring, you know, oh, it's going to be $3,000 for this piece or $1,500 for this piece, and they've not talked about it, then that doesn't fare well for me.
Okay. Let's say you're talking to me and you're having this conversation about doing our engagement shoot. So I've got my future wife with me and you throw a number at me like $1,000 or $1,500 and you hear me go, whoa, I wasn't expecting that much. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would let you know that we do have other options. And that's the option that I have pictured in my mind for what you talked about for the area that we discussed. But we do have other options. And at the shoot, I can show you all those different options.
Okay. So at the session, you know, you go through the session, you do the shoot, you go back to their house, let's say my house, for example. Do you bring samples with you or do you have photos of samples? Or do you just hold your hands up on the wall and show them?
Yeah, well, I project it real size, but I do try and bring, you know, a sample of something that's metal and then a sample of something that's canvas to, you know, really give them a sense of what they're looking at.
Okay, so sounds to me that the main objective of these shoots is to sell one large piece rather than, say, lots of little pieces or an album. Is that the goal?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever sold a album from an engagement session, to be honest. I really want them to get that large piece because I want them to wake up every morning and say, okay, this is us. We had a crappy day yesterday and I love these photos up here and this is what I love about this person. And that's what I tell them, you know, this is the thing that you wake up to, whether it's in your living room or, you know, above your bed, and this is the person that you're deciding to marry.
Yeah, awesome. All right, I love it. And when you're showing them the photos, so you're looking for one hero shot or you're wanting them to pick out one hero shot or are you having a montage of images inside this one big piece of art?
I would say they're always collections of, you know, like three or four images. So one obviously is bigger than the rest, so it is a little bit of a hero shot. But, you know, I'm trying to put something together that tells their story. And at that point, we've talked a lot about what they love about each other and some of the great things. And during the photo session, they've maybe even told each other some things that they love about each other. So it's really creating these great positive vibes around their session. And the artwork just serves as like an anchor for their love, something that they can go back to every day and they see every day.
Yeah, okay, that's nice. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, you're averaging around 2,500. You want to push that up to 3,500. So will you do that with raising your prices or selling more products? What's the plan there?
Yeah, I would hope to get to the point where I'm selling even two, you know, a collection and then another couple pieces for their home. Yeah, not raising the prices, just, you know, selling another piece.
Okay, cool. All right, you mentioned a few things. And one thing that did catch my attention was that you said you've hired a business coach. How is that going? How have you found that person? Or how did you find them? And how are you finding them using a business coach?
Yeah, I actually think you may have interviewed him.
Oh, who is it?
Yeah, it's Steve Saporito.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, the portrait doctor.
Yeah. So I met him at a photography conference that we were both speaking at. And one day he sat down next to me. We kind of just ended up sitting at the same table and we talked for about 2.5 hours. And I was skeptical because I had heard some things about him and I was like, oh, he's another one of those guys. And, you know, and I used to be a little bit into marketing for my job at one point in my life. And so when we sat down, I was expecting one thing, and I totally could tell that he knew so much far beyond anybody else in this industry about marketing and about running a business. I was just blown away.
Yeah, wow. Okay. So you hired him? Like, does it work on a, do you pay per month, per year? Do you sign up to a program? How does it work?
Yeah. So I'm in his online group. I would say it's group coaching program. And then I think I've done 17 days of workshops with him.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been a lot and it's been amazing for my business.
So that online group, I think that's Intuition to Succeed. That's the one, is it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Since you've started that, how difficult has it been for you to change the way you're doing things and incorporate what Steve's teaching?
You know, it does take time. That's the thing that I have to kind of, the grace that I have to give to myself is it takes time to make some of these changes. And then other ones are instant. Like just learning how to price yourself correctly is an almost instant change. Like, okay, my pricing on this thing was not good before. And here's how I'm going to price it now so that I run a successful business.
Okay. Can you give me an example of something that you changed price-wise?
I was terrible in the past about just even my add-on pages for albums. I don't even know where I came up with the number. But it was, you know, I would just try and get like $250 for, I don't even know how many pages, like 10 extra pages. And that was just not good. Photographers really are really bad at business. And I had no idea what I was doing. So I've gone up to, at the moment, for my weddings, I'm $100 a spread, and it's double that for my portrait sessions.
Okay. Still not expensive. And so when you made that jump, was that because so Steve came in and said, right, you need to double or triple, or you need to have it at this price to be profitable? Like, how did that work that you went from one price to the next?
Well, I just looked at the percentages that we were running, you know, the cost of goods and all those things that I was running before, and where he said that profitable photography businesses were at. And when I looked at those numbers, I was very embarrassed. And I made some changes to get in line with what a profitable studio would be.
Right. Okay, cool. And was it scary for you to make that big jump in pricing?
Yeah, I think the first time I quoted somebody like a big number on the phone, just for, you know, it's no problem for me to quote somebody $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 on the phone for a wedding. You know, that's really easy. But to quote somebody a big number for an engagement session piece that would hang in their home, that was really scary. Or when you get to an end of a, you know, you're designing the album with them and they had the album included in their package. And then you're like, so, based on the number of pictures that you've chosen, that's going to be an extra $4,000. I think that was really scary to be able to say, hey, you spent $4,000 in your wedding and your album's going to be another $4,000, or, you know, that kind of thing.
For sure. So is that getting more comfortable now with you to do, or are you hiring someone else to do that part for you because you don't like it?
Actually, the funny thing is I've come to enjoy that part of the wedding almost the most.
Get out. Really?
Yeah. When they come in, because it's like a celebration, they get to relive their wedding day when it's a wedding client. They get to see all the photos and they get to see the design that I've pre-designed for them. And sometimes they're almost like jumping out of their seat. There's, you know, I've had couples almost screaming like they love the photos so much. And I was really missing out on that portion because I was like, hey, why don't you choose your photos and get back to me? And 4 years later, they'd finally choose their photos. And my, you know, my excitement for their wedding has been long gone at that point. So now I get to see them the same month that they've gotten married usually, and they're so excited. And it's great to see like how they are seeing the wedding photos.
But do you still get that sort of squirmy sensation when it comes to that, right? Oh, it's going to be another $4,000 with the photos that you've picked?
Yeah, I would say a little. You know, when they do say, okay, we want them all, there is that little, little bit where I'm like, okay, that will be, but then I have to remind myself to say it really confidently and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I love your honesty because I feel the same way, and I am terrible at upselling. And since, well, I have someone else do the selling for me, I go and say hello when they come in and go through their photos and let Tennille do the sale.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And that's actually what I think 90% of the photographers in the world should be doing, is they should really give up the sales process because they think they're terrible.
That's true. Hey, let's step back in time to when you kicked off the whole tattooed thing. And I know you had like a bit of a business background. I mean, you were running a business. I think it was a graphic design.
Yeah. So I was a graphic designer for many, many years before this.
Okay. So when you went into the photography and you were shooting weddings, like, how was business before you even entertained the idea of shooting or photographing tattooed brides?
I was just doing it as like a side job, you know, like people would just ask me and I would shoot the wedding, or they would find me online. This is before, you know, everything got so cluttered with SEO. So my site was ranked on the first page, sometimes the first one for my local region. So at that time, I was priced really low in my first 2 years of business, as most photographers are. And yeah, so people would have no issue booking me, and I was happy for, you know, whatever I got at the wedding.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, well, that was an old, was it a pro blogger site that you had back then?
No, I actually, I made it in Dreamweaver way, way back. And
okay, wow.
Yeah, that's what my original degree was in, was like web design.
Okay. All right. So you're shooting some weddings, you're getting some work, you're not getting paid a lot.
No.
I guess it sounds almost like a sideline job.
Yeah.
And you get this idea to shoot the tattooed market. Is that a business decision at the time, or is that a creative decision? Like, why choose that genre?
Well, you know, I was thinking about how my friends were tattooed, and, you know, I used to be in this band, and I was like, ah, man, I don't see anybody with tattoos and wedding dresses on these wedding magazines. Like, wouldn't it be really cool if somebody just took photos of, you know, even models with tattoos, but in wedding dresses? That was as far as my business expertise went in that decision originally. So it was like, wouldn't it be cool? And I didn't even think of it as like a strategic decision. It was just like, oh, I know somebody, I'll just stuff her in a wedding dress and take some photos. And I wasn't even going to put them up on the website. It's more like just like a blog sort of article, you know?
Mm-hmm. And what happened when you did that?
It was huge. I put the photos up on my website in the end, and we got more than one person. I think it was like 7 people. I partnered with somebody else. A model helped out. She booked a bunch of other people for me, and it kind of just blew up. And that was back in 2008. So
the shoot itself blew up, you mean, or the bookings afterwards?
Afterwards, I just started from that point on. People were like, yeah, you know, I went to this photographer and he saw my tattoos and he talked about getting them photoshopped out. So I didn't go to him. I came to you. I typed in tattooed brides. You came up and I called you up. Can you shoot my wedding?
Yeah, right. So once you knew that there was interest in this, did you, I don't want to say exploit, that has like a negative connotation, but how did you use that to your advantage?
Well, right about the same time that I did the shoot, I think within a month, I posted it in a blog, or not on a blog, on a forum. And somebody said, oh, do you know about Offbeat Bride? And I'm like, no. So I checked out Offbeat Bride and right away started doing some advertising with them, because they were like the perfect outlet for these photos. So Rock and Roll Bride in England and Offbeat Bride in the United States both really started covering this. And that was at the beginning when they had just launched, and it was just perfect to join forces.
Wow. Awesome. So that's why I guess I had that confusion in the beginning, because, you know, I know you got so much exposure through those blogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you could be, if you wanted to be, and I might be wrong here, you know, charging $10,000, $15,000 per wedding and just picking and choosing the ones that you want. Like, did it get to that stage, or it never did?
You know, it never did. I think a lot of the ethos that go with those kind of weddings is they're not always spending exactly that kind of money. You know, I have some clients that are spending tons of money, but I would say a lot of the people that are on Offbeat Bride and are on Rock and Roll Bride have a slightly more like do-it-yourself mentality. I've had clients where my budget was most of the wedding budget, and I'm proud of that. Like, they saw such value in wedding photos that they wanted to spend most of their money on the wedding photos.
That's great. So do you think, and I'll look at your work now, do you think there's another next big thing for you or for other photographers?
For me, it's really, you know, I'm enjoying getting to run a business more like a business. It's been fun. It's my next big thing. Something that I've been working on a lot lately is couples boudoir.
That's what I was hinting at.
Yeah. So I had reached out to Huffington Post, and they did a huge feature on couples boudoir, quoted me in it last week. It went pretty viral. So that's something that I really love. I love it a lot more than just even regular boudoir, because it's like all the best portions of a wedding, an engagement session, and boudoir all kind of combined into one thing. And to be honest, some people are spending more money on their couple's boudoir than they are on their wedding.
Wow. Okay. So you know that now. I mean, do you feel like you're one of the pioneers, for want of a better word, for this genre, a couple's boudoir?
I think, you know, there's been a lot of photographers who have done it very silently. I think there is, you know, this underground niche of it, but there's not really been anybody who wanted to push it, you know, make it really a thing in the United States. It may have been a thing in other countries, but, you know, in the United States, there's a lot of conservatism and those kind of things. So I think nobody really wanted to push the boundaries too much with putting it into the press. And I'm like, I have all these connections from all the articles that I've worked on with different, you know, media outlets with, you know, the Tattooed Bride. So this was a natural, you know, progression to put this out in the world.
Knowing what you know now and experiencing what you have with Tattooed Brides and the following that you got there and the exposure that you got there, and even better, knowing that couples are spending possibly more on these couples boudoir shoots than some weddings, what do you do as a marketer, as a business owner, to capitalize on that now? Like, do you have plans? Or if someone else was listening to this and they had this idea that in Australia and they thought, this is great, this is my thing, I want to run with this, what would you tell them or suggest to them to get known for this?
Yeah, so here's the secret to PR. You really want to find somebody that'll write about something that you're doing. They don't have to be big at all. They can be your local newspaper.
Really? That small?
Yeah. As long as you get somebody that's legitimate, they can be a local blog. You just need somebody that's legitimate and they write about you. And then you can shop that topic to medium-sized news organizations. So whether it's Huffington Post or other ones, you know, in your country, you take that article to them and say, hey, look, this article did this and we got all these comments. So the idea has to be pitchable, but then you can take that when a medium-sized company writes about it or news organization writes about it, maybe it's your local TV station, they do a segment on it, you can shop that to an even bigger, you know, national, international, the Daily Mail UK, that kind of thing. And that's really how you work it. And that's the formula that I used for this couple's boudoir. You know, I even guest blogged my own article, and then I took that article and I sent it to somebody else. And as long as they see that people are commenting, they want to know that people are commenting and sharing. And if the idea is shareable and gets people talking, then other organizations want to write about it.
Okay, all right. If you knew that other photographers in America were already doing this, how do you feel about promoting yourself as the, you know, couples boudoir photographer and getting the press for it? Because surely there's going to be other photographers out there that are doing this thinking, bloody Mike Auerbach, you know, I've been doing this for years, yeah, and he's coming in and he's going to be known for it. Like, does that even affect you? Does that come into your mind?
No, because up until this point, I haven't seen them, even though they might be doing it, they're not making it a key part of their business. So, you know, right away I went after the Instagram name, couples boudoir guy. and a couple others. I got the domain names, all that. So they were all available. So I don't feel, you know, sad or guilty or anything about, you know, going after it.
Awesome. Okay. Let's say I want to do this in Australia. Should I feel guilty or should I even be worried or be intimidated that you're already doing this in the States?
No, because I think that's the beauty about the internet is you can be this person in your town, in your state, in your country, and that's just how it works, you know. You can be, like, somebody can be known for newborn photography in their hometown. They can kill it in business, and they can be their town's newborn photographer, or even a more niche than that. Maybe their town's twin newborn photographer.
Okay, I love this because I know that when the listener or when I hear ideas, sometimes I think, well, that's already been done. I can't do that. But you've totally dispelled that. I mean, I can go after anything I want. It doesn't matter who's doing it already.
Yeah. And like PR and SEO work the same way. That's why many of the PR organizations and SEO organizations are really one and the same now, is because PR and SEO are the same. So if you have an idea, you can, you know, run with it. And you don't have to be the only one in your country. You can be, you know, one of many in your country, but pitch the idea in such a way that it gets interest locally.
Okay. Now, you've talked about pitching the idea a few times. So let's say I get my local newspaper to cover a story that I'm working on or something that I've done, because I think that'd be pretty easy to get into the local newspaper.
Yeah.
How do I pitch that article once it's been written to someone else?
So you would choose somebody in that realm. So if it was on weddings, you would look at a slightly bigger publication and you would say, okay, this is the wedding writer or this is the relationship writer. Find an article that they did, find their contact info and send them a link along with, you know, this is my idea for a story. This is how you could do a different slant on the story. Or you want to make it juicy and make their job easy, especially if they're writing. Writers are so overwhelmed right now. If you can do anything to make their job easy, they're going to want to go after it.
Okay, so when I pitch them, the next one up the chain, do I actually have the article written or do I just pitch the idea and let them know that I can write the article if they want me to?
It depends if it's like an open system for like guest blogging or if it's more like a newspaper that's bigger than the, you know, your most local newspaper. So if it's a bigger newspaper, you just want to give them enough information, even just like two sentences along with a link to your other article, showing them that there's been shares or comments, showing them how successful your article's already been.
Okay, so where would it get comments if it was with a local newspaper? How can I prove that it's gone well for them?
Yeah, I think if you personally share it, you can have you can have your own friends, like, you know, comment on it. But if it's an idea that's slightly unique, it's going to get those comments, especially if it's controversial. So, you know, if it's something like tattooed brides, obviously it's very polar. So people are going to say mean things and people are going to say nice things.
So you want that?
Yeah, I think you really do, because that's what gets the shares. And obviously, that's what makes the advertisers pay more money for advertising on the websites.
Okay. I'm imagining then that you would have read over the years a few pretty awful things written about you and your photography.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever an article goes to the Daily Mail, which gets international reads, people from, I would say, more conservative, Middle Eastern, African countries write some pretty bad things, and they usually have to shut down the commenting. So it just gets that way.
So is that seen as a good thing? Like, does that say, okay, we've got to get Mike back in to do something else?
Well, I would say I don't like it for my clients.
You're right.
It's not great for them because, you know, if they go and read the comments, it's like, you know, I feel really bad for them. So I usually request commenting get turned off if it goes in a bad direction. But yeah, for tabloids, they love that. So that's, you know, a tabloid type company would prefer the crazy comments. That's what they want.
Okay. And you bring up an interesting point there. The client, do you get their permission or let them know you're going to be posting or sending an article to a publication?
It really depends. You know, if they shot their session as a model call or something like that, and they've signed all the paperwork, I don't usually let them know beforehand because that's what they're signing. And that's what I explained to them is, you know, you're signing a model release here, and that means that, you know, we're going to submit these to different publications and try and get some press out of this as well.
Okay. And what about if it's just a wedding couple, a tattooed wedding couple or a boudoir couple that have posed for you and paid you to photograph them? Obviously, they sign a model release, but would you let them know before you send that off with an article?
Well, if it's a couple's boudoir session and they did not sign a model release, because I don't make all my clients do, I would never submit that to, you know, those are their private photos.
Okay.
But if it was a part of a model call, then that's fine. And they know that up front. They know that the reason why I'm waiving, you know, some of the fees to do a shoot with me is because they're going to sign a model release at the end.
Okay, so you mentioned model calls a couple of times now. Why are you still doing model calls if you've got clients waiting to do shoots with you?
Well, so in the studio, I was looking for couples' boudoir photos. And all the couples that had done photo sessions with me up to that point had not signed model releases. And I didn't want to go back to them because I didn't feel like that was fair. You know, couples' boudoir is a very private thing to many couples. So I didn't think it was the right call. So I did a model call for couples boudoir, and it really allowed me to have a stock of photos to pull from.
Okay. All right. So you put a call out to get the models in. And are these experienced models? Are you looking for general, you know, normal couples that respond to, say, a Facebook ad that come in to a model call?
Yeah, I was looking for normal couples. We got a couple models, but normal couples is really what I want. And I want people to feel comfortable knowing that they're coming in, and normal couples can look amazing and they've seen their amazing photos online and they weren't professional models. So.
Okay. And do you sell to them as well, or is that a giveaway?
After the session, yeah. They get some product credit, so they can use that to get some free stuff. But yeah, afterwards we sell to them.
Oh, cool. Okay. I want to ask you one other thing, because I read somewhere, I was doing a little bit of looking around before the interview, that you also sell online to families and things after the weddings. So with, I guess, with reprints and things like that. I'm just curious how you do that. I'd love to know.
Yeah, that's actually something pretty brand new that I started last year. That's something that I love. Really, if I can get a hold of any of the family beforehand, before the wedding, speak with the parents, we really talk about what this means and how their daughter or son are getting married and their excitement for the wedding and what they love about their son or daughter. And I just ask them if they would be open to coming in and want to see any of the photos after the wedding. And it's amazing because they feel so much more a part of the wedding. So when I show up on the wedding day, they're excited to see me. We've talked on the phone. They feel more a part of the wedding day. Which, depending on the, you know, the situation with the kids, they may not have been much a part of planning the wedding. So on the wedding day, they come and they see me, and I was the guy who called them up and asked them all these questions about their kids. And then after the wedding, they come in and they get to choose photos or an album for themselves.
Okay, so these are in-person sales. You're not doing these online. You're not just throwing up a gallery and saying, you know, buy what you want.
Right. And I've just never had very good luck with galleries. I don't know. Maybe I don't know how to do them. But there's so much. It's almost like much higher end service to have the family come in. And as long as they live within an hour or two away, they're willing to make the drive. And I really focus on the parents that can come in physically and be there. And I want to deliver the same experience that I gave to the kids, to the parents. And if I can do it at a different time, even better.
Okay, so they'll actually come in for their own separate appointment. So either side of the family, the parent. Wow, okay. And you've had success with this?
Yeah, yeah. My record sale was almost $3,000 for a parent that came in.
Wow, awesome. And on average, you know, is it around 1,000?
Yeah, I would say most are looking for like a smaller album, around 1,000, like basically my starter album. But, you know, I think it's going to get better this year, and I'm going to see a lot more of the parents, you know, now that I'm prepping them to want to purchase big art. I think they're going to want to purchase the big art.
Okay, they're steering them towards like a wall piece instead of an album.
Yeah, and that's what I try and always do outside of the wedding couple. For all the other sessions that I do, I'm really wanting people to have their artwork on display. It's the most valuable piece of artwork that they could ever own.
Yeah, I kind of love that. That's awesome, mate. Thank you for sharing that. It's fantastic. Are you ready to tackle these 10 quick questions?
Yeah, definitely.
10 quick questions, 10 quick answers. 3, 2, 1, go.
What camera system are you using?
Nikon.
Favorite lens and why?
Oh my God, the new Nikon 105 1.4 is a dream. I'll shoot like a 90% of a boudoir session with it because I have a pretty big studio. And it's just beautiful, so sharp, so perfect. It can do anything I want it to do.
Nice. I haven't even seen that lens, so it sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Do you have a favorite piece of software that you use in your business?
Well, that's between the two. It's either Lightroom or Photomechanic. Photomechanic has been saving my butt these days since I turn around the sessions so fast.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think is the best thing you've ever done for your business?
Definitely being open to business coaching and, yeah, definitely the business coaching side of things.
That's the turnaround. So is Steve the first business coach you've ever hired?
No, well, I had a life coach at one point and I, you know, saw him for a while when I was trying to transition out of my job. So that was a great experience and it really prepped me to be able to leave my job.
Okay, I heard the term life coach. I've got no idea what they would tell you. Can you give me an example of one thing a life coach would tell you to do or ask you to do or teach you?
It's almost the same thing as a business coach, but they approach different areas of your life. So it's basically about overcoming fears. So one of the things was public speaking. And it's basically, they just tell you to just do it. But it's somebody somebody who sits across from a table or on the phone with you and says, well, just do it.
Yeah. And because you're paying them, you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever had a setback along the way?
Oh, gosh. Definitely a lot of setbacks. My latest one was losing my studio manager.
Yeah, okay. So what do you do? Like say she comes in or he comes in and hands in their notice. Do you freak out or do you start putting in place? Or do you ring Steve or do you start putting in steps to how to overcome that, how to manage it?
Yeah, it was a little of both. I knew it was coming, so it wasn't a big surprise. You can sense those things. So yeah, I've just started kind of the hiring process again. So yeah.
Okay. Let's say you decided to move to Australia with your wife and family and you're going to start over from scratch. What would you do to kick things off fast?
Oh, gosh. I think I would definitely search for a studio space because I've gotten so accustomed to having a studio that I don't even know if I could function without one.
Yeah, right. And then how would you get clients?
I would probably actually do some model calls because that's a pretty quick turnaround. And with Facebook ads, I could target people in the local area. I think that would be a good way to start.
Okay, so you get a portfolio plus have the chance to make a sale at the same time.
Yeah.
Cool, I like it. Nice. How do you handle, if you've ever had one, an unhappy client or a complaint?
You know, I believe in the power of customer service and I just try and believe that everyone has the best intentions and do anything that I can to really still save it, you know. I've only had one client where I've ever had to refund any money in all of 10 or 11 years of business. So sometimes I'll give them a little extra. Sometimes I'll try and speed up an order if I've messed something up. But whatever I can do to make them happy, I try and do.
Okay, nice. What do you do when, and I'm sure you've experienced this, if a client says to you, that's too expensive for me. The other photographer up the road is only this much.
Yeah, so that's definitely something that I get a decent amount. And I'm okay with where I'm priced. You know, I think that's something that a lot of photographers have to get past. You can't be the Walmart of photography. If you're the Walmart of photography, there's always going to be another Walmart that pops up down the road that can beat your price. There's just no good way to make money at the bottom. At least that I can see. So I'm okay with it. Sometimes I turn those around. I turned a client that wouldn't spend even $600 on a session into a over $9,000 wedding client.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I think, you know, I just stood my ground and I said, I would love to work with you guys. You know, it's a shame that we can't figure anything out, but you guys sound great. I'd love to work with you. And then 6 months later, after the person tried to find, you know, someone else that could shoot their wedding, and I said, hey, you know, you don't even have to do a wedding shoot. We could just have you in the studio and I could take a couple pictures of the two of you for a few $100. You'd be in and out in a couple minutes. You know, I could do that for $600. And they said no. And I just stood my ground. And 6 months later, I get the email, hey, we want to book your $6,000 wedding package. And then after the wedding, they're like, okay, we want to spend, you know, another $3,500 on the wedding album.
Wow. How good is that?
Yeah, it was perfect. And you just never know, like, people can turn around and it happens. So I just stand my ground and I know that if I charged, you know, $500 to shoot a wedding, I would be unhappy and really I'd be making less than minimum wage.
Yeah, right. Okay. Fair enough. But I've got one more question to ask you, but before I do, I know that you're doing something with Fundy coming up soon. What's that, like a Creative Live thing?
Yeah, so Fundy Software, the company that does all the wonderful albums, and it's how I design all of our, well, how my staff designs all of our albums. It's rare that I actually go in there, but they're doing a class on how to basically do your first year transition from not doing in-person sales to doing in-person sales for a wedding photographer. So I'm going to go over my transition of my first year doing sales and really how to make your first $4,000 wedding album upgrade.
Okay, so this is for the, you could be an experienced photographer or you could be a new photographer, but you're doing shoot and burn at the moment and you want to move to in-person sales.
Yeah, or you may even be selling albums, but only getting your like minimum album package. So it's really how to upsell and design an album that tells their whole wedding story.
Okay. So is this you doing the training or is there other photographers doing the training? Like, how does it work?
So it's going to be me in a room with, I think, three or four others. We haven't recorded it yet. It's going to be recorded pretty soon. And yeah, I'm going to be in the room with other photographers who have that those kind of questions.
Okay. Cool. All right. So this hasn't been recorded yet. So when this interview goes live, I'll share the details with the listener and they can go and check it out. Sounds great. Have you ever done anything like that before?
Well, I've taught on stage at WPPI. I've done a lot of local, you know, all sorts of local classes here and there, but I've never done something on recorded to tape. So it should be interesting.
So you're 100% past your fear of public speaking then?
Yeah, I would say that I'm definitely comfortable with it. Yeah, I've come a long way. The first time was not so good.
Well, let me ask you my last question. Have you ever had an embarrassing moment or a stuff up that you're happy to share?
Yeah. So I have probably the best story. And this happened a long, long time ago in, I think it was 2009. So I had actually been hired to do a proposal. So I show up to the area where the proposal was going to happen. I had my second photographer with me. We had gotten texts from the future groom and along with pictures, you know, I had the pictures from the email. So I knew what the couple looked like. He sent me a message saying what they were wearing. And this was in the winter in the United States. So they were, you know, they were in dark coats. So he said, we're both wearing dark coats and everything. So I see this couple and I'm like, they're the one. Here it is. Here they come. And told my second photographer, we start snapping. It's beautiful. Like the guy takes her over to the park bench right where I was told that this was going to happen. He gets down on one knee. He asks her, she's crying. We're taking photos, you know, we have the 70-200s on and it's perfect. And it's, you know, it's really dark out because it's dark in winter and it was beautiful. And I just walk over to the couple and I'm like, after I gave them time and I was like, man, we got that. We totally got that. And the guy, he's like, who are you? And I was like I think I felt my heart like sink and stop at the same time.
Oh man!
I just didn't even know what to do. I'm like, I just photographed the wrong couple. My second photographer handed him a business card and said, hey, we got the photos at least.
Where was your couple? What happened?
Well, they actually, so I think the guy kind of texted me too soon. He said we were walking down right now. And I think they were walking down from really far away because, you know, 10 minutes from the first shot that I took, I photographed them
Oh, so you got that as well.
I still got them. I got two couples in one day. It just happened to another photographer this past week. So it was really funny. So I got tagged in all these posts of all these people that knew that I had done the same thing back in like 2009. But yeah, it was terrifying. I thought that I totally missed
them. I bet. You got to tell me, did you make a sale to the first couple?
Well, I at that point, I was just giving them, they tried to book me, but I was already booked for their wedding date. Oh. So they did come back and say, hey, you want to shoot our wedding? And I'm like, sure. When is it? And they gave me the date and I was like, oh, can't do it.
Oh, man. That is the most scary thing ever.
Yeah.
To think that you missed it. Oh, man. Hey, Mike, this has been an absolute pleasure. Just before you go, where is the best place for the listener to check out your work and find out more about what you're doing?
Definitely alabachphotography.com. That's my website, A-L-L, E as in Edward, B as in boy, A-C-H, photography.com.
Fantastic. I'll add links to that and all the other social media profiles and where people can find you in the show notes for this episode. Mike, mate, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was awesome.
Alrighty, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Mike Alabach, the Tattooed Brides photographer. Mike, if you're listening again, mate, thank you so much for coming on, sharing so much about your business, the way you do things, the way you built your business. It was so refreshing and cool to hear that you are a regular, normal guy down in the trenches, you know, working like the rest of us on your photography business, looking to the next thing and implementing things into your business to make it all work. I loved it, mate. Again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you did. It was a real pleasure. And I love your work, mate. It's fantastic. For you, the listener, I hope you did get as much as I did from that interview with Mike. If you have a follow-up question for him, if there's something that you wish that I asked that I didn't, you know, whether it's to do with photographing tattooed brides, getting your business going, attracting a new kind of client, couples boudoir photography, anything, then hit him up in the comments area of the show notes and you can find them at photobizx.com/225. If you go to that page, the comments section is at the very bottom and above the comments area, you'll find links to anything and everything that Mike mentioned in the interview. Plus, you'll see some examples of his very cool work. It's all there, photobizx.com/225. And if you're a premium member, I'll be adding Mike to the members Facebook group, so you'll have access to him there if you have anything specific to ask him, or if you just want to say thanks for coming on the show. I know that he'd love and appreciate that as well. One big shout out for today's episode, and that goes to Tony Knight from Melbourne. He is a photographer, he's not a typical photographer. I'll tell you more about him in just a sec, but his website is This Is My Life. It's worth checking out. It's something pretty unique as far as photography work goes, where he captures more than just a day in the life. He puts together a life story for his clients to hand down to the younger generation. But anyway, he's left a review for the podcast and he says that I'm not your typical listener. And apart from the occasional head shoot and portrait of his clients for the cover of their book or their album, he's not a portrait or a wedding photographer. Although he has shot dozens of weddings in a previous life, but never again, he says. But he's loving the podcast because it's mixed up with SEO, marketing, general business, and interviews with a whole different range of pro photographers. And he's always getting something from almost every interview. So, Tony, that is fantastic, mate. I love that you're enjoying the podcast and you're getting something from it, even though you're not specifically a wedding or a portrait photographer. And video makes up 80% of the work that you do. So, yeah, mate, that's just fantastic. And again, a big thanks for leaving your review. It does help the show get discovered inside iTunes. So that's a massive help. All right, mate, thanks again, and I will talk to you soon.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
In last week's episode, I mentioned a premium membership special on the 12-month membership, and that is still running for this week. It finishes at the end of this week. The reason I'm running the special, I was asked this, why are you running this special at this time of year? You only normally do something around November for Black Friday. Well, the honest reason is the holiday in France. It's going to kill me financially. No, it's not that dire. But yeah, it's to celebrate the holiday that I'm going on. This was a little way to have you celebrate with me going on holidays. So yeah, I put together this membership special. You can get the 12-month membership for $147 instead of the usual $200. So that's a little over $10 a month for the membership, which is just insane value, I think. Hopefully you feel the same way. And you can also get the 12-month premium membership with the Facebook Ads course, which is now $97 on its own. You can get both together for $197. So it's a 12-month membership plus the Facebook Ads course, which has been producing so much work for the course participants. It's been phenomenal. I get emailed daily with course members letting me know their results, how they're going with it, how many leads they've generated. We also chat about their ad if they're having any difficulty with it. So I'll give feedback on that. We help rework the copy, look at the way they've set up their ad inside Ads Manager, try and tweak things, maybe their photography or their photos that they're using with the ad. And usually it's something simple that's just gone amiss as to why they're not getting the same results as everyone else. So look, that is all there. It's part of that membership course. It's not something that you just buy and then you head off into the sunset to do it all yourself. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'll help you with the ad and your ad creation because more than anything, I want you to have success with it as well. So yeah, the 12-month membership plus the Facebook Ads course for $197 or the 12-month membership on its own for $147. I've got links in the show notes. If you've been on the fence and thinking about this for a while, now is the time to grab this. It finishes on Friday this week, which is June 30th, I believe, 2017. And I need to have all those new memberships in and sorted before I head away on Saturday. So that's why it's finishing on Friday. So again, links and details are inside the show notes at photobizx.com/225.
Want to know more about Andrew? Follow him on Instagram at Andrew_Helmich.
We're going to kick off this new product and review suggestion segment. Wow, I've got to think of a new name for it. That was hard to get out. Today I have Amanda Schultz from ACS Studios. She's a Canadian-based portrait photographer. She's also a full-time teacher. You know what? I'm going to introduce her in the audio. Have a listen to the segment. Let me know your thoughts. Leave a comment in the comments area for the show notes. Let me know if you like the idea of these segments, how they could be improved. If you have a product that you think I should review, or if you'd like to come on and review a product, then send me an email. It's andrew@photobizx.com. We'll have a look at the suitability of it for other listeners. But yeah, I'd love to chat to you about it and get your feedback on the segment and any future products that you think should be reviewed. Now, if you are familiar with the name Amanda Schultz, that would make sense if you've been listening to the podcast for a while or if you're a premium member. But I did interview Amanda for episode 144 of the PhotoBizX podcast, this podcast, and we talked all about finding your way as a portrait photographer. And that's where she introduced and went into detail all about her 30 Days of Gorgeous project. And the reason I bring that up now is because I've also interviewed Michael Teo. He is a super talented, amazing photographer based in Melbourne, who ran with his same idea and generated terrific, fantastic sales from following exactly what Amanda teaches. Now, that was a members-only episode, so you do need to be a premium member to hear that one. If you're not a premium member, you can go and check out Amanda's website. You can download her instructional PDF on how you can put together your own 30 Days of Gorgeous project. And I just want to add quickly before I play this review from Amanda that I just saw a message by Sigrid Kane, one of our premium members over at PhotoBizX, who is running with this same idea that Amanda talked about in her interview that Michael has done now and other members are doing. She says, "I'm a little overwhelmed. I received over 200 immediate responses through my contact form, and 50% of those also nominated another woman to be photographed. Can't wait to see the outcome in the end." Just incredible. This is all from Amanda Schultz's 30 Days of Gorgeous project. Get back and have a listen to that episode if you haven't and get inspired and motivated to put something like this into action into your business. It's just fantastic. And Amanda does this while having a full-time job as a school teacher, which she loves. Anyway, we'll get more into that in just a sec. Here's the audio with Amanda. I've got Amanda Lee. Amanda, sorry, before I record, do you go by Amanda Lee or Amanda?
Just Amanda.
Okay. Everything I see from you is Amanda Lee Schultz.
There is a story behind that, and it has to do with the police.
Well, I'm recording now, so go on.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I was born Amanda Lee Matthews here in Edmonton, and someone in the same hospital on the same day was born Amanda Matthews. And as we grew up, we were mixed up by banks and by all sorts of different people. So I put my middle name on everything, and that makes it a little bit more clear for them. But the other Amanda didn't grow up necessarily being the kindest person in the world. So I like to make sure that I'm separate from all of that.
So you have to use your middle name so that you're not mixed up or confused with her when you do banking or shopping or applying for credit cards, anything like that. Is that the reason?
Yeah.
Because you have the same birth date.
Yeah, our social insurance numbers are really close to each other. We were born in the same location on the same day.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that wasn't how I was going to introduce you.
Oh, my goodness.
But now that we're recording, so for listeners that aren't familiar with you, I did interview for a podcast episode a long time ago. I'm going to link to it in the show notes, but that's where you shared with us more about your business and in particular your 30 Days of Gorgeous, wasn't it?
Gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, and that was amazing. So for the listener who isn't familiar with you, you absolutely have to go back and check out that interview with Amanda. And if you are a premium member, there's some extra little goodies from Amanda inside the premium members resource area if you want to start your own or run your own 30 Days of Gorgeous campaign, which was an absolute winner for you. And I know other photographers who listen to the podcast have had huge success with that. Now, I've been sidetracked again. In addition to that, so Amanda, if you don't know, is a school teacher, a full-time school teacher. She loves her job, but she also loves photography. She's got no intentions to go full-time with photography, or she didn't the last time we spoke, but she loves doing both. So she does both, and she does them both successfully. Gets amazing sales from the women that she photographs, and I believe she's also moving into weddings now as well. I don't know why that sounds crazy. So we're going to find out about that. And the whole idea of this segment was to discuss one particular product that Amanda's using, and she jumped straight into the thread inside the members' Facebook group saying, you've got to use this. This is great. I love it. It helps me in my business and my daily life. So we'll get to that in just a second. Amanda, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
That's a convoluted welcome and introduction. So you did mention to me just off air that you're going into weddings as well. Why would you even want to entertain that idea?
Oh, goodness. A very good friend of mine, he is this unbelievably talented photographer. He couldn't find a second shooter, and he knew that I technically know how to photograph. So he said, if you come with me, I will give you a list of shots you need. I will take all of the pressure off of you. I need 12 shots. Get those shots, and then that'll be great. And so we went, and I learned a ton from him over the day, over the wedding day. I think I shot 1,000 photos instead of 12. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed the communication between him and the bride. I really enjoyed that role. And it was fun. And now I think we're on our 15th wedding coming up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. At the end of the summer, I think we'll have had 15 weddings together at that point.
Are you still shooting portraits as well? Or have you pushed that aside and just focusing on weddings through the summertime?
No, I'm still shooting portraits as well. So I have right now booked the first 3 weeks. I have one every day.
Okay. Well, I guess that brings me to the whole reason for this segment. And that's the passion planner that you talked about. Because I was going to ask you, how do you fit all this in? Has this passion planner, has that got anything to do with it?
Oh, goodness, yes. So you mentioned that I'm a school teacher. It just means I have to be the most organized person in the room at all times. So I can take that need to always be planned and need to always know what I'm going to be doing. And I can apply that to my photography business, which I actually don't find all that hard to organize after trying to get 40 kids to do what I need them to do. So this planner is available for free, which is my second favorite thing in the whole world beyond being organized.
Gotta love something that's free.
Yeah.
Before you do go on, do you want to explain to the listener what Passion Planner is?
Yeah. I used to make my own planners because I could never find one that I liked. So it's I think you call it a diary. It's where you put in your dates and you plan your week or you plan your day or you plan your month. I've always found that I can't find a planner that works for me or a diary that works for me. I'm very particular. I need to know. I'm just very particular about these things. So you can tell. So I found this passionplanner.com. A friend of mine showed it to me, and it's really just a weekly planner with months in it, but it has nice paper and it's got, which is important to me, it's got really nice designs in it. There's a lot of space for me to write, and it's laid out so that I can see absolutely everything I need to do at all times. It's just so organized and pretty, and it's pretty, and that's important. I'm a visual person.
Well, I've got to say, when I checked out the website, when you linked to it, or you told us about it in the Facebook group, I thought, wow, this looks so good. And the website is very, very good. And it makes the journal or the diary or the planner look like it'd be fun to use, and it looks like you'd want to use it.
Yeah.
But I know that when you actually order or when you go to use the planner, it doesn't look as pretty. I mean, it's black and white, but on the website, there's lots of colors. It looks beautiful, but you have to make it look beautiful. You have to fill it in.
I just use highlighters.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So does your planner look like the one on the website?
Does my planner look like the one on the website? Not quite, because I don't use the same colors on the inside as they do. And my writing is clearly messier, but it is personalized, I guess, the way I fill it in.
But do you use highlighters and colors and make it look like the ones on the website? Or is it more just using black pen, black biro in the diary?
Oh, yes. I use highlighters and I use colored markers. And I have, do you have Sharpie pens where you are?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have all the colors. So everything is color coded.
I guess the listener's big question and mine, I'm sure it's on their mind, is why would you do this instead of just having it on your laptop or your iPad or your phone?
So I'm a really visual person, but I also understand that I am the most productive when I'm physically writing something down. And I will remember it forever if I write it down. So I've had to come to learn that about myself over time. I know there are people who work very, very well with Tave, which is my scheduling software, or who work very, very well with their iCal. I just don't. I find it disorganized. I don't like the way it looks. I never remember anything that's in it. I never check it. So I need a physical book with me that I can write in. And that's just my productivity life.
Okay, so you don't have a digital version of this planner as well. You're all paper and pen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that explains it then. Because I looked at this when you linked to it, I thought, wow, this looks beautiful. I could do this. I like this. I like the idea of writing things down. But in my business, I still need to have a digital calendar. So then for me, would it be pointless?
I don't think so. I do have a Google Calendar that I sync up with my calendar every Monday. That's in my planner to do. So I do sync it up. Every Monday. That's more for other people, though, to look at my calendar and figure out where I'm going to be than for myself.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned it was for free.
Yeah.
How does that work? Because I know you can buy the journal as well, or the planner.
Yeah. So they want you to buy it with its fancy paper and with its pretty cover. But they also have it so that you can try it for free to make sure that it's the right layout for you. Because I find that I need a specific layout. I found that theirs really worked for me. So you can print it in any size you like. I put it in a little 50-cent duotang. So really, my planner has cost me 50 cents plus the paper.
Wow. What do you put it in? A 50-cent what?
A duotang. I don't know what they're called in other places. I think that might be a Canadian thing.
Okay.
A little tiny binder.
Right, okay. Maybe we can find a link to that so the listener knows exactly what you're talking about, and so do I.
Yeah.
So what size is it? A5, is it, that you print it?
You can get a big one and you can get a small one. So you can get one that's in regular 8.5 by 11, and then you can get a smaller...
Smaller version. Okay, I think I did see that on the website. I think it's 8-inch by something.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're continuing to just print them out free and just use them that way?
Yes.
Beautiful. I love it. That's so good. So the website for the listener, if you want to check this out, is passionplanner.com. And like I said, the website's beautiful. It looks beautiful on the site. And yeah, it's worth giving it a try. Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Thank you, Amanda. What did you think? Was it a good segment? Was it something that you want to hear more of? Do you like the idea of the passion planner? Let me know your thoughts. Send me an email or leave a comment in the comments area. I want to do more of these if this is something that you like, if this is something you want to hear more of. I do have another one planned with Amanda that we've already recorded, so I'll bring that to you sometime soon. Yeah, I'd love to hear your feedback on the whole segment if you get a chance. And I've got links to the passion planner inside the show notes and also a photo or an example of what the actual book looks like. Not Amanda's, but one from their website. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. Feels like it's been a massive one. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have in putting it together. I won't be here next week unless you are a premium member, because there is a premium only episode coming out with Raymond Hatfield. So check that one out. If you're not a premium member and you don't want to miss out, grab the trial membership for a dollar, or better yet, grab the 12-month special while it's running this week before it finishes on Friday. All right. If you're a premium member, I will chat to you inside the members Facebook group and obviously next week in the podcast episode with Raymond. A big thanks to Mike Alabaugh for coming on and sharing everything he did. Really appreciate it, Mike. A big thanks to Amanda for being the guinea pig and trialing the product review segment. Really love chatting to you, Amanda, again. So thank you. I think that's all the thanks that I've got for today. Look, have an awesome week and I will chat to you soon from France. Au revoir and bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.